For Kevin's dad has been going out searching for answers nearly every day since that December morning when Kevin was last seen. He knows someone knows something and wants that person to put themselves in his shoes.
Tuesday would be the 8th of over 30 days, yes.
The last 30 days have been filled with anguish, frustration, and concern for Lance Yankee and his family. There's still no sign of his son, Kevin Nugent.
Yeah, every day it sucks.
Kevin asked to be picked up from the brass rail on Broadway the morning of December 9th. It's the last time they heard from him. Since then, the family has searched nearly everywhere. They put up posters, they found his glasses, got in surveillance video, and have received tips. But so far, no solid leads.
But I wish there was something solid. I just want to know where he is.
Hello and welcome to the Where is Kevin podcast. My name is John Arroyo. Before we start getting into this podcast, let me give you a little bit of background on me and why this became an important story for me to tell. I recently took a road trip with my fiance and daughter to visit my family in Little Rock, Arkansas. The drive is an especially grueling 13-hour trek, so to keep me busy, I listened to a podcast called Up and Vanished. I was on the edge of my seat the whole trip. And as it turned out, Payne Lindsay's podcast helped reignite interest in a dead case and helped solve the murder many years after it happened. This was particularly interesting to me as I had a conversation with a gentleman on my radio program the week prior that had recently lost his son, Kevin Nugent. Lost in the fact that he simply disappeared off the face of the earth. The interview was haunting as the father said his final words to me.
And at 1:40 and then again at 2:41, and that was the last time he talked to my daughter. He called my daughter for a pickup. But after that, it shows him walking down Fulton, and there's nothing out after that. I can't get videos from anywhere else.
Hey, if anybody has any details on it, who would they call to help you find your son?
You can go to my Facebook. I put it on public so everybody can get to it. My name is Lance Yankee, Yankey. Just hit me up. Anything. Like I said, I just want to make sure he's okay with it being close to Christmas. I don't know what to do.
Oh, man, dude.
I'm so sorry, man.
Our prayers are with you and your family. We certainly hope you find him, man.
Hopefully we got a good ending soon for
you
guys.
Yeah, man, we'll keep track of this, and we'll help however we can. You just give us a call if you need us, okay? So with Up and Vanished as my guide, and with the most sincere effort to help find Kevin, I give to you the Where is Kevin podcast. To get a clear idea of what happened that night, I felt it might be best to start with the people most deeply affected by the loss of Kevin, Kevin's parents. As a new father myself, I can't imagine what it must be like losing your baby. I was joined by both parents for the following interviews. I found it imperative to give them a voice to be heard. The first couple of podcasts will be their opportunity to address the people of our community. There are a lot of theories out there on what may have happened to Kevin. I will explore these theories and ask for interviews from both sides. Hopefully, together as a community, we can find out what happened to Kevin. Let's start with the timeline from Saturday, December 9th, 2018.
When my camera's picked him up at my house, he's leaving the house about 10:30. My daughter was taking him to the rail.
The rail is also the brass rail. It's what locals call the little dive bar off of Broadway, downtown Fort Wayne. Interesting place. I've only been there a handful of times. But if you like a strong drink, really loud rock and roll, and a pretty diverse group of people, the rail might be for you. Unfortunately for Kevin, the brass rail was one of the last places he was seen.
My daughter got a call about 2:30 to come pick him up, 2:33, I think it is. From his record shows like 2:33. To come pick him up.
They come pick 2:30. They call his sister come to pick him up. Then she woke up, she go to pick him up, but I tell my daughter, 2:30 in the morning, you just stay home, sleep, I am gone.
So then, you went to go pick him up?
Yes, I will go pick him up. And she put the address into my phone, then I will go to pick him up. then I go to pick him up, I go to that bar, and when I go to that bar and I look in that bar and I say, What the hell do you be here for? It's scary. But when I be at the bar at 2:40, Kevin call a daughter one more time at 2:41.
So you were there at
2:40? I be there at 2:40, mm-hmm. but on the front of the bar.
Yeah.
I be on the front of the bar. Kevin be on the back of the bar.
So you missed it.
I miss him just that much. I supposed to look like I look at that, but the food truck right into that street. I want to turn into that street, but that the food truck right there on that street. When that time I stop right there to look over the bar, it's a whole group of young people to walk out that bar and walk by that the food truck guy. Then have somebody in there will see Kevin, because that group of people will see Kevin. I be on the front at 2:40. Kevin on the back at 2:41. He call his sister again, but his sister asleep and he missed that call. See, I be in the front and I then 2:42 I call his phone. I call his phone and they didn't answer. No answer. And 2:43 I call him again. I call him 10 times on that night. There's no answer.
The bar catches him, or
the
Arby parking lot catches him at like I have footage of at like 1:41. He's leaving the bar that first time, you know, for whatever reason, you know. That catches him here, and then again the Arby catches him at
2:42.
Like 2:42, it shows him walking from the brass rail. The first time he was walking in the front.
And that was about what time mom was calling.
Yeah, mom was calling that
time.
That time
I will call him.
So 2:42, he's at Arby's.
No, he walked on the back of the rail.
He was in the back of the. By the time you were there in the front, he was in the back. Something, however, he got put back there, escorted back there. Don't know, but he's coming from. The first time he catches him coming through the front of Arby's, the second camera catches him coming off Fulton across mm-hmm. Jefferson and coming across that way. So it's like.
So there were two different times that he got caught on the Arby's camera?
Yes, mm-hmm. two different times. One at 1:41 and then another one like at 2.
So 2:42.
Then he left the bar the first time, it seems, at 1:41.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it must have walked around the block to go, because all you see is his hoodie on, and he was really. He was definitely
so
drunk.
For some reason, he came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't see you see something in his hand on the footage, but you don't see anything else. You know, he's like he's flimmering or something, and then an hour later, the same camera catches him just coming from a different direction, and he's hood off, and he's just like basically just walking. It looks like he. Like he's mad, and like he just had a fight. That's what it looks like, because he's not stumbling. He's just walking straight now.
Did he have his glasses on at that point?
No.
Nope.
No glasses.
That time, our daughter, when she saw that, she said, "Mommy, he don't have glasses on." Mm-hmm.
Now, the glasses could be a key part of evidence. Now, the Fort Wayne Police Department didn't find these glasses. The family that was actually searching for answers came across them in the back parking lot of the Brass Rail. And these aren't just any regular glasses either. These are very expensive Burberry glasses. Not the kind of glasses someone throws around, or, you know, like a cheap pair of sunglasses where you just lose them.
So
then I'd be in the fun all that time. Then I turn around and I text him. Are you coming out? Then nothing. Then I call him again. And then I call him again. Then turn around, I text him one more time. I am here. It's nothing. It's no answer, no nothing. Because if he be like that, I call him 10 times. I call him and I wait in that bar for 3 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning.
The cameras, the video.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. That is when the food truck guy drive away. Then I turn around and I go right into that where the food truck guy park at, and I park right there. Then I call him again. Then nobody. Then I step out and I go to the front of that door of that bar and I look in. I mean, it's in that time race, you have a lot of people in there. And you don't tell me that bar is small. Doesn't matter what Kevin bum or do whatever.
Did you go into the bar at 3 o'clock?
I didn't go because I had pajama on.
Uh-huh.
Then I had the jacket on, but I could look into that door. It's, you know, scary. There's so many people in there.
Our phone records show, or her phone records show, at a certain time, he called, and his phone called, and then his mama was texting him, calling him, he's not answering on these texting. It's like every couple of minutes she would call. And it would be like, basically, it got to the point where she would call, and it would be like, I think our record shows that the call's 36 seconds, 37 seconds. It's ringing, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. the next thing you know, it's like 36, 37, whatever, and then it goes seven seconds, because instantly, as soon as you call, it goes straight to voicemail.
So that's when the phone was turned off.
Pretty, some, yeah, someone
turned off.
Turned off or what?
Don't
because
know
like I said, she's here, he's here. So
what was the timeline from when the phone was ringing through to the time that it was going directly to voicemail?
It'd be anywhere between like 2:43 to, I'd have to pull the record, but it's like
So right after he was seen at Arby's, then the phone goes dead.
Yeah, he didn't. It was before. No, before then.
If all of this is true, it's absolutely brutal for the mother, as she was out front and her son was in the back of the bar. Only God knows what happened back then. And possibly some other eyewitnesses. No one's come forward yet.
Before then, the phone was like, 2:43 is the time stamp. 2:41, 2:43, something like that is. I have to look at my video.
Do we recall the name of the food truck?
Yeah, it's Big Apple Pizza.
Okay, so let's go ahead and recap this timeline. At 10:30, Kevin left his house, and his sister drove him. At 1:41, for some reason, Kevin left the bar. Now, we'll get into theories while he left the bar later on in this podcast. The Arby's camera picked him up at 1:43. He made a call home between the hours of 2:30 and 3 o'clock. Kevin's mom, instead of his sister, shows up to pick him up at 2:40. 2:41, Kevin calls his sister. 2:42, mom calls Kevin, no answer. And then at 2:42, the same time that mom is calling Kevin with no answer, he is spotted again on the Arby's camera across the street down the block from the brass rail. Mom called 10 times that evening with no answer. What happened to Kevin? Well, if we want those answers, maybe we can look and figure out what kind of guy Kevin was.
Typical boy, you know, he's a gamer. He loves his game, loves his art. Art was his passion. That was just, you couldn't find a, you know, get out of school, do his homework, go straight to doing his artwork. And that was just, you mow the grass? No, I was drawing. Okay, I'll mow the grass. I'll do it. No problem. You know, things like that, you know. But always willing to help. He loved his sister, his brothers.
He, funny, sweet. We always play.
He was a mama's boy.
Yeah,
he was a mama's boy. Sometime, and, you know, I sit on the couch and read a book. And he could come down and he just flipped my iPad, and you know, we just have it each other. Or sometimes if he do something, I say, I'm not cooked for you. and you know, just he coming down, and I look like he live in our house, and he go to work, and I say, you have to pay rent. And he tell us, he tell, but you guys tell me I'm live free. You know, but you know, it would be like that. He really, when he funny, he really fun, but respect. And you know, look like grandma across the street from our house. Anytime she call him, and including he sleep, and he just say. But he will get close and go check grandma, go to the hospital, checking her blood pressure and whatever he want, then go to lunch with her.
He's
then
good.
Wrap him her up at her house, and
he's
you know
good.
He really, he is a good, really, really good kid.
Yeah, he's a good. He was.
I'm so sorry, Kathy.
did.
Can you guys tell me, what did Kevin do for a living?
He was, he used to work for prairie farms, or dairy farms, what is that?
Dairy farm,
but yeah, and then, but he left school to go, or left work to go to school.
Okay.
He did, he was full-time online classes. He was doing, for artists. He wanted to be,
Animation.
Okay.
That's where he got into, for ever since he was probably 12. He liked his video games. You know, so to me, it'd be, he was constantly in his room, either doing homework or doing, playing games. That was his, he didn't go out much. If he did, he went out on Fridays or Saturdays, and, you know, like normal, like regular people would do. You know, go out to the bar. Or
would you consider him a partier? Well, I mean, was he a party kind of guy? Or?
No, because I'm always having parties at my house, and it's either birthdays. I'm celebrating something, and he might drink a beer, but he would just like sit in a corner and just not really pay attention to people. Mm-hmm. Somebody might talk to him, but he wasn't a really, really sociable person when it comes to people. He didn't. He would talk to you, but he wouldn't really.
Wasn't very outgoing.
Yeah, he wasn't. Sorry.
Do you think that maybe he drank a little bit for social anxiety reasons? Like, sometimes people drink sometimes.
Right.
Get a little loose. Do you think that maybe that might have been part of it for him?
No, because when he did drink and it got to the point where he drank too much, he wasn't sociable. You know, he would sit in the same spot and he wouldn't do anything.
Mm.
He'd just be basically just
frozen.
Like a rock, you know. It took a few people to move him if you're trying to get him to do something. But he was not really defiant, but he wasn't.
He just wanted to be left alone.
Yeah, he just wanted to be left alone. You know, so
do you think that there might be a possibility that he might have been drugged that evening?
Yes. That has hit my head. Either he was slipped something or he tried something. You know, I could sit here all day long and say my son's a good kid, but you don't know what your kids do. You know, no one does. So he could well possibly went to the bathroom, someone slipped in something, or he could have went and bought something, and it had something in there that shouldn't have been in there.
But it was definitely out of character.
The way they say he was acting, how he was acting in there, and it's like, you know, if his bill was $36 in the bar, drinking past with ribbon, I don't know who gets drunk on that stuff, but $36. So it means he's drinking something else, and then I think he got a hold of something. You know, that's just how I look at it, because it's out of character for him to act like he was acting.
Mm-hmm. Because I go to the bar and I add the bartender in there, and he say only two beers.
Yeah, two beers.
But his bill was $36.
Yes, and that time I didn't make my husband. He out of town. And I just go in with his Kevin friend and add the bartender, and he say, Kevin, drink only two beer. It's impossible Kevin drink two beer and he get drunk and he go nuts in that bar.
Not only that, but if he only had two beers, why was his tab $37 or $36? You know, where'd the other money go?
Before we start getting into that stuff. We're still just getting to know him here. But what were his hobbies? You said art was a big hobby of his. Did he have any other hobbies?
Ever since he got out of high school, he was in sports. But other than that, no, he'd go to the gym every day. He was relentless on the gym. I think he missed maybe his weekends was his off week. He liked to skateboard.
What gym did he go to? I'm just
Planet Fitness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he was. Yeah, he was definitely into that. He'd skateboard every once in a while, he said. Wasn't very good at it, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always go to somewhere to draw. You know, it was either
coffee shop.
Like anything, it's a coffee shop. He was real good at coffee shops. So I think the Crown, or was it the Crown? I think it's called Crown. Right here on the accordion.
Crown.
Yeah, Old Crown. They say he's in there all the time.
Where did Kevin live in relation to the place that he was living?
Where did he live? How far away?
Where did he live compared to where he was?
He was northeast compared to where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Did Kevin go to the rail a lot?
I don't think so. According to his phone records, he called that place one time, and that was that day he went missing. So I'm assuming just to find out who was playing. Because he'd always go to, like, O'Sullivan's. anywhere there was music, he'd go.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of vehicle did Kevin drive? Did he drive?
Yeah, he drove, but he did that night. He didn't.
That night, he didn't.
So he's pretty responsible. Would he take Ubers and get rides?
Sometimes, not to get into his personal life, but you know, he probably has been known to probably have a few drinks and drive, and that, I'm totally against that. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, we all do it, but his is like, that's why, you know, we all hear that theory. If you're drinking, call us. You know, we'll come get you. Even if you drive there, mm-hmm. but you know, I don't care what time it is, call me, I'll come get you. It's the most reasonable thing to do. Now, you know, there was, I think, one where he did go to a bar and he got too drunk, and someone supposedly offered him a ride home, and I get a call at 4 o'clock in the morning because the police got him. You know, but they're at the bar because he got in his car and he just sat there. Didn't know if he was going to drive. That's not my I don't know.
How long ago was that prior to the incident?
Prior to this one, probably about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, give or take?
It's a week before.
A week before, okay. So, okay. Yeah.
How old was Kevin?
25.
I felt so bad during the interview because I kept referring to Kevin in the past tense. The truth is, we don't know if he's no longer with us. What we do know is, as the date of the interview, it has been 30 days. We hope Kevin is still with us. We know the anguish of his family. We know that someone out there, we know someone knows more information and is willfully holding it back for the family. Please help us spread the word about Kevin by sharing this podcast. The more people listening, the more people caring, the better chance we have of getting Kevin back home. If you have any information, please drop me a line, john@989thebear.com. You can also like the podcast page on Facebook at www.facebook.com/whereiskevinpodcast. In addition, a very close personal friend of the family, Alina Resnick, has started the page Help Bring Kevin Nugent Home. She'll be joining us on next week's podcast. You can also reach out directly to the family, as Lance Yankee has a Facebook page and is constantly waiting for the message that will help bring his son home. In the next podcast, we will start to explore some of the theories out there regarding Kevin's disappearance. The family is looking for answers, and as of right now, there aren't many people coming forward. There are, however, lots of rumors. We will explore what might have happened to Kevin in the next podcast, episode 2. Please subscribe to the Where is Kevin podcast. I'm going to do my best to get a new episode up every week, or until we find Kevin. Thanks for listening.